Welcome to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Robertson. It is December 6th, 2017, which we are 2.5 weeks from Christmas, and all the lights are up and everything, and our house is all decorated. So sometimes Christmas is not easy. This is kind of a crazy lead-in to our next interview. This is Brett Sullivan. Now, Brett, you have been going to this church how long? Do you remember?
At least 6 years.
6 years.
Maybe nice. Seven. Since 2010.
Now, I remember. You came, where'd you move from?
Lake Elsinore.
Okay.
We were at Lamb's Fellowship, Lake Elsinore.
Okay. Now, tell me about your life, because I didn't know you much before then. So tell me about your life then, what was going on.
Back then, I was a carpenter living with a long commute.
Okay.
So I didn't get home much. I would work 6 days a week. A lot of weeks I was working 6 days a week.
Right.
And I met my carpool buddy at like 4:15 in the morning at the Lake Elsinore outlets to go to work. And we wouldn't get home till between 6 and 8 at night.
Good night.
And being really tired. So it was, a lot of time away from family and kids. A lot of people do that.
Right.
It strains, you know, your home life.
Right. And the thing is, housing was not
affordable.
Was affordable there. I don't know if it's affordable now.
Yeah,
It's getting expensive. So how long was your commute, and mileage-wise?
Like 80 miles one way.
Okay, that's a long day.
Yeah. So did that for a couple of years until the job I was on was done.
Okay.
And I got another job out here at the airport, and my wife at the time and I decided to move closer.
Okay.
So we did. We moved to Playa.
Now, back then, you told me that your wife then led you to Christ.
She did, yeah, at Lamb's Fellowship.
Okay, tell me about that.
Before I met her, I was raised agnostic, really. My parents were not religious.
Okay.
But I got sent to Catholic schools, and you know, I had a lot of questions, and nobody could have, the pastors and preachers and everybody that was religious that I spoke to growing up,
really?
It always boiled down to, well, you just got to believe.
You
just have to have faith, and that didn't work for me.
So you went to a Catholic school?
Sure.
Do you have good memories of nuns? Because every time I talk
not
to
nuns.
Some... Or not nuns?
No.
Because every time I talk to someone that had gone to a Catholic school, they were beaten. So I don't know if you had a positive experience.
Well, I was never physically harmed.
Okay, because you're a big guy. Who's going to hit you?
Well, I wasn't always big, and I'm not that big now. But
okay.
Anyway,
okay.
My experience, memory of those experiences mm-hmm. were, difficult,
right.
Trying, but not because of physical.
Okay.
So anyway, I was I had experience with religion
okay.
and went to those schools and did all that stuff, but I didn't believe, and I was always questioning, and nobody
right.
could ever answer my questions. So I lived my life thinking that I was in control, and I just had to do this or that, and I could manipulate this or that, or
right.
make this happen, and figured out at some point that wasn't true.
Okay. So then what happened? Was this at the Lake Elsinore Church?
Yes.
Or that you received Christ?
Yes.
Under Gary Ennis?
Yep.
Pastor Gary
yep.
Ennis? Was it during a service or just with your ex-wife?
It was during a service when they were at their church burned down before they built the big one.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
They were at the high school.
Because their church burned down. It was almost done.
Yeah, I don't know the
yeah.
history of that part. I just, when my wife and I started going there, they were in the auditorium of a high school
okay.
in Lake Elsinore during that time.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember Pastor Gary Ennis took a sabbatical. He was exhausted because they just did his fundraising and building the church, and then it burned down. So they had to start all over again. So therefore, you received Christ under your ex-wife. You have two wonderful children. What year were they born?
06 and 08.
Okay, 06 and 08. So you would think Brett has his life together. Brett's
oh,
doing
yeah.
really well.
Yeah.
LAX, beautiful wife, beautiful children.
Yeah.
Just in LA. And then I remember meeting you guys at the front door of our church. And I don't know if you remember this, but I think both of you were into this... biblical base for church, for finances, personal finances.
Yeah.
And you were asking if you could do a workshop.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I don't.
Do you remember?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember asking you about it.
It was just a few weeks after, and I was going, oh my goodness, this family is really into the Lord and stuff like this. So you were working at LAX, doing everything. Then all of a sudden, things started changing within your marriage.
Yeah, the bottom fell out.
Okay. Now, do you remember? Now, this is what I want to focus on, too, is your prayer life. Because usually, I've been divorced, too. And I was divorced in 1995, and we moved out in 1992. But my prayer life became very strong in 1989, 1991. And did you realize that your prayer life started changing when you realized it all was falling through?
Well, I haven't thought about this for a long time. So thinking back right now, I don't know. I don't know if it did or not.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first came to the Lord, as a few people I'm sure are, I was really into the Bible study and spiritual and learning and experiencing and having men's groups and doing, I did a whole lot of spiritual stuff, and that was really good for me.
Right.
But then, when I came here, I think in the beginning when I first came here, I was still really into that.
Right.
And but lately, the past few years, I've kind of not been as involved spiritually in Bible studies and groups and
things. Do you think that's because what you went through? Because you went through a terrible divorce, and
well, I thought it was fun. I don't know.
Well, that's fun. You're really sadomasochistic. But you went through a terrible divorce, and we'll do it on the light side, that she just decided that she didn't want to be married anymore. And I remember...
She didn't want to be married to Satan anymore. That's...
Oh, to you. Is that what Satan, she called you? Satan?
Well...
Okay. But anyway, she didn't want to be married to you.
Right.
So the thing is, this is where I remember having some incredible deep conversations with you. And one of the things that I distinctly remember is not what you said, but your facial expressions. Because it's almost to the point, I've never seen somebody carry so much pain. It was a Sunday after church. And you didn't say much, because you didn't, there was nothing to say. It was like you were in such deep pain. And so now, I look now, you're remarried, a beautiful wife, and that's a whole journey in itself. But I was wanting to focus on, how do you get from being so much pain? And how do you, did you ever feel disconnected with God at some time?
Actually, no. I felt more connected, ironically.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I felt abandoned. That's what I figured out.
Okay.
It reminded me of my childhood. My parents are divorced.
Okay.
And they got divorced when I was 3.
All right.
And I had always lived with this feeling that I didn't know quite where to put it. You know, my personality, this divorce really helped me deal with some of the issues that I've had in my life. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm perfect now, but it helped me realize some of the unhealthy behaviors and motivations that I had that even got me into that relationship in the first place. Mm-hmm. And part of that was when my parents got divorced, I felt abandoned.
Right.
And that's exactly how I felt when my wife left.
Okay.
So coming to grips with that and dealing with it has made me a lot stronger and healthier and happier.
Okay. Now, okay, so you went from the beginning to the end, but this is where I'm curious, because people that listen to this podcast can relate to, oh my goodness, I've been abandoned to my parents. I've had an abandonment issues. So therefore, as a child, when I go into a relationship, then I really feel I have to have control over the relationship.
Yeah.
And which basically, to be abandoned by your parent, or feel abandoned by your parents and feel abandoned, how do you begin to realize that Christ has not abandoned, or is that...
That's it. Okay. That's what saves you, is okay. that God was with me the whole time.
Okay.
Everybody else, humans let you down. People let you down.
Oh, they do, don't they? And they, it's not like they have intentions of letting you down, but it just...
No, no.
Yeah.
That's who we are. We're flawed, and just... I don't know. I can't explain it. It's just right. I felt in my heart that I was abandoned by my parents. I was abandoned by my wife. All the people I cared about
abandoned
me.
Right.
But God didn't. And He was listening when I was praying, when I was letting my feelings out and asking for help. You know, so many people were supportive from the church, from the old church that knew me. You know, I had conversations with family members and friends, and through all of that, I felt like God was with me, and really that brought me peace, and it gave me the freedom not to hold on to those feelings of abandonment or need to be accepted or loved by the people around me. I don't need that anymore as much. I mean, it's great to have acceptance from people around you, but if somebody doesn't, I am who I am. You know, you accept me the way I am, and that's it. I'm okay with it if they don't accept me.
Yeah. But the thing is, let's go back a little. Do you remember where you were emotionally or even physically at your lowest point? Where you just... Because I think you...
Well, two times. Okay. One was I was on LAX airport working in a work truck, driving, and crying my eyes out.
Okay.
Bawling my eyes out, an adult male construction worker. So that was a big blow. That was when I realized I felt the abandonment from childhood.
Okay.
The second time was around one of those times, maybe I spoke to you, but when I went to the front of the church, I don't know what you call that area.
Like the platform?
No, behind there.
Oh, the prayer room. Front,
the prayer room.
Yeah.
I just was there by myself and just let it all go. Yeah.
And you just broke down?
Yeah, I just let everything out.
And so during that letting out process, I know for me, when it's almost, it doesn't just affect you emotionally, but physically, I dropped. I literally dropped to the ground because I did not have the strength anymore to even stand up. And I remember, again, weeping. And I was thinking to the point, I just want to feel again. I don't want this pain to last. Because it was so deep for me that it was crazy. And that's why, friend, Brett, and look, pointing to you, that you brought up all kinds of crap when you were going through it with me. Because I thought I was over my divorce, you know, and this was years ago, but when I saw that facial expression that you were giving me, that I felt my pain. All that afternoon I walked home, I didn't even want to talk to Jennifer because it was like I was just reliving my divorce again, because that facial expression you gave me was the exact same facial expression I had when I was looking at myself in the mirror. So now when you're driving the truck, weeping, or you're in the prayer room weeping, you're by yourself, obviously.
Yeah, yes.
What are the steps did you take? Did it just kind of move itself through, or did you...
Well, like I said, I had support.
Okay.
I had the church. I had you. I had other parishioners. I had people from the other church that I had relationships that I hadn't spoken to in quite a while. But, you know, back then I was on Facebook still, and there were people I was connected with through that reached out to me when they found out what was going on. And so it was good to have all that. Plus I went to a counselor. I sought counseling, and that experience, you know, kind of went back to my childhood and kind of helped me better understand my part in being involved, my unhealthy behavior and thought process that allowed that relationship to even happen.
Right.
So dealing with all that, at some point I healed and moved on.
Okay. And then what's interesting too, your story is a little different from my story. I didn't have two children And you had two children. Yeah. And I don't know if that makes it easier or makes it harder.
For what?
When you're going through a divorce, when you're going through difficulties, it probably makes it harder when you have children.
Yeah, I'm thinking it makes it a lot harder. Because...
You know, when you ask a question, you look at Brett's face, you go, that's the dumbest question I've ever asked on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Brett. That was stupid. That's okay. Okay.
But part of the reason it's harder is that you realize that you can't just write this person off.
Right.
You have to deal with this person for a while, yeah, a long while.
Absolutely.
And so you've got to, you know, and you can't just fly off the handle and do whatever you want because there are little kids involved that don't have a choice about it. And
right.
So you have to, yeah, you have to get healthy and heal yourself and come to a place where you can continue to be a parent.
Right.
And do the best you can. Obviously, I'm not perfect. No. I make mistakes and I do things out of anger and whatever, just like anybody else would. But in the end, you know, the journey is not just mine anymore. Right.
And a lot of people, that when they've gone through divorces and really hurt, there's a lot of deep resentment and bitterness because of it. And I think even after the divorce, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
It can.
And so it would be interesting to realize, how do you keep that in check sometimes? Because obviously you guys got a divorce because you guys didn't get along. Or, you know, what people, there's some animosity between the two parties, whether it's earned or whether both have earned it. And so how do you manage through a mature decision or through a bitter decision? How do you balance that out?
Well, the two things that come to my mind are, one is fear and the other is responsibility.
Right.
So one reason I might respond a certain way is out of fear that the court system is out to get me,
right,
or that, you know, I have this loss that might happen if I don't do something this way or that way or the other. The other one is responsibility. So it kind of boils down to, I have to try to think about the kids,
right,
more maybe than I did before that.
Right.
And before I react or before I respond, before I get baited into anything, before, right, you know, as I'm taking stuff in, I have to think about my response and how it might affect those around me, especially my kids.
Yeah. And so, and then what was interesting too is to watch you go from just so depressed to falling in love again. And that's one of the neat things about these facial expressions, because it gets to the point where in a few years, through the years, I've just seen, my goodness, Brett is happy.
So we don't even have to do a podcast. You can just see my face. We don't say anything. And you know if it's good or bad.
Well, then when we do the before picture of going, you know, just this resentment, and then a real smile, because it's almost to the point, and to me, divorce, when you go through a divorce, you mature like you're 80 years old. I mean, it's just, you're emotionally exhausted and everything. But when you begin to fall in love, it's almost like you get younger. And you start having some kind of joy and happiness and smiling and stuff like that. And so, and she is, Maxie, beautiful woman. But anyway, as we close the podcast, I want to focus on this. First of all, it would be interesting, two questions. A couple getting married, newly married and stuff like this, and they say, Brett, can you give us some marriage advice? Okay, because you've been through it, because I do marriage advice too, and I've been through a divorce, could you give, what advice would you give?
I don't know what I could say that might be valuable. Everybody has free advice that's worthless. Seriously, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. It depends on their situation. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know the people. Okay. If I knew the people, right, if I knew their situation, I might be able to give some valuable advice. Mm-hmm. But it's not like a one size fits all
right
deal.
Right.
Just do the best you can. Be honest. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable.
Right.
Don't be afraid of that. And give your full whole self and let the chips fall where they may.
Right.
And that's it.
Right. And the second question I want to ask, and I always want to ask this question to someone like yourself. Usually when somebody deals with death, and somebody asked me this, no, I asked somebody this, they were married twice, they went through a divorce, and their husband died of cancer, the second one. And I went to them and I said, which is worse, the divorce or the death? And she, without thinking, said, the divorce. It was far more harder than the death. And I said, why? And she goes, the reason why is because in a divorce, I question every memory that we had. Was that person legitimate? Was that person there emotionally with me? On the death, that's all I have is memories. And the memories are great. And so I look at that and I go, wow, divorce is really hard and tough. So asking this question is, what is some of the most comforting words that somebody gave you? And what was the dumbest thing that someone said without using vulgarity on language? Because sometimes they're both good intention. But so if you can answer that, I don't know if you can.
Oh, I'll try. I mean, okay. Some good advice. Ask that again. Some good advice somebody gave me during that time?
It could be advice or it could be comfort or something that all of a sudden you spent some time with that person and you left encouraged and just uplifted.
I keep remembering somebody from our old church who also went through a divorce and had two kids, and it was a guy, and his name is actually Brett, uh-huh. like mine. And he gave me great comfort because I knew that there was light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And he was a very spiritual person, and he helped remind me, one of the few people that helped remind me that the Lord was with me the whole time, okay. and that he was, and being available was right. one of the things for me. Everybody says, oh yeah, call me anytime, whatever, but I actually had the strength to pick up the phone and make that call in the right. middle of the night, and yeah. he answered it.
Okay.
And he, you know, he stayed up late because I was hurting, and, you know, that kind of support, it, a lot of people offer that and probably mean it.
Right.
It's hard to take that, to take that and actually do something with it. Oh, like absolutely. Actually call in the middle yeah. of the night when you're hurting or yeah. whatever. But it worked for me. Like, that setup worked. I took his help and he was there. And okay. so that was very helpful for me. Okay. Just being there to listen and be supportive. And bad advice was people saying to get back at the other person and, you know, oh, attack and attack. Yeah. And so.
Yeah, because my brother, every time he mentioned my ex, and I'll, he would call her Psycho B from hell. And I got all offended because I'm thinking, I'm the one, if anyone's going to call her names, it's me. But don't do that. And so you're right. Sometimes when they think they're helping by tearing their ex-wife verbally apart, that doesn't help. Okay.
No, that doesn't help. That's not what I meant. You okay. know, sometimes you do need that vent, and right. that's fine. But the fact that we have kids and that we would have to maintain some sort of a relationship and how it affects the kids, attacking, when you're going through the process of divorce, the legal process where you have court and you have custody and you have all these right. issues to resolve, you know, fighting about everything
right.
is less important than picking your battles. You know, try to come to resolution quickly with major stuff and only fight about a couple things, and try to, you know, understand that you and your person you're divorcing aren't the only two people involved with this.
Right.
Your kids are involved, your families are involved. So, you know, it's best for everybody, including yourselves,
right.
to do the best you can to agree on as much as you can agree on without conflict.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Brett. And we thank you for being part of this podcast. And if you want to see Brett, he comes to church on Sunday at 10 o'clock. And if you want some straightforward, because Brett doesn't pull any punches when it comes to advice. And so he's a loving guy, a caring guy. So if you're going through a situation that he went through, He will be there to talk to you and pray with you and stuff like this. And also, if you come to our services, we have two services, Sunday at 10 o'clock and Saturday at 6 o'clock. Thank you again, and remember, every day is a gift from God. Use it wisely. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Perfect. How do you feel about it?
Good. I mean, I guess.